Ready.
Just in the middle of the field, 45, 50. Green grass in front of him, leaving Lions in his wake.
I am Jeff Joniak.
Blitz is on. Down he goes. Husker.
What was it like playing for Coach Ditka?
I don't want to answer any questions like that.
61 yards. A Sunday stroll for Justin Fields.
No way. 3-4-3.
And Pendera is Pendera is Pendera.
Now, Bears Etc. with the voices of the Chicago Bears, Jeff Joniak, and Tom Thibodeau.
But it's going to be a big game. Bears and Browns in Cleveland, an important game as it awaits the Bears. They are back in the conversation, albeit a long way to go to get into the playoffs, but plenty of ways to get there and plenty of discussion. With Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak, and this is the Bears Etc. podcast. The Bears travel to Cleveland on Saturday. We'll kick off at noon Chicago time on Sunday. We break it down, and coming up, we visit with former Browns quarterback Bernie Kosar, an inspirational story for him and his rebound, overcoming a lot of personal issues and just his health in general. And he has a keen eye on quarterback play in the National Football League, both with Joe Flacco and Justin Fields. I hope I set it up perfectly, because I think it is one of the bigger games we've had here in a while. Bears and Browns.
I mean, a non-divisional game at this point in the season, how much it matters to the possible playoff future of the Bears. What happened the last time that Justin Fields went into Cleveland and played? There are so many tentacles to this game that it's not as meaningful as a divisional game to me. However, for where the Bears are going, it has as much meaning as any game this season.
Yeah, you're shoving all the chips in the table. If this is poker, you're putting them all on the table right now. One of four games left, and you're riding high a little bit here. You got a two-game win streak. You're three out of your last four, five out of your last nine. There's camaraderie brewing in the locker room across the offense and defense and special teams. People are playing for each other. All these things you hear about winning teams. And yet, hey, there's still, again, it's mountains to climb here. But it feels different at the moment. How about for you?
Yeah. Well, you know, the unfortunate thing for me right now looking to Sunday's game is the fact that they've lost Yannick Ngakoue to an injury. And, you know, he was part of a rotation of defensive linemen that were really effective. And I think when you, if you have guys of a pass rusher with his reputation, what Montez Sweat has done for this team, how the rookies are developing, and how every other defensive lineman is contributing. He was an important part of the rotation. So I'm interested to see how Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator, they kind of supplement his reps with the other guys.
Yeah, Tom stole the status from Halas. Yannick Ngakoue, broken ankle. I was surprised to hear that.
So was I. You know, I didn't think, or I never saw an injury that seemed that severe. And then when I read the injury report, I was really disappointed that, you know, there's a possibility. Well, he will be out for quite a while. And just, again, to see where this defense was going, I think he was as important part of it as, not as anybody, but he was an important part of it.
No question. Can't have too many defensive pass rushers. He broke it in the game, requires surgery, out for the year. Happened on one of the last two-minute drives of the game. Four sacks he winds up with, and Eberflus says on Wednesday, could have had at least three or four. That slipped out of his grasp. So a great opportunity here again. DeMarcus Walker's been playing a lot. He'll probably play a lot more. Will Dominique Robinson get back into the mix? I'm not giving up on this guy just yet. It's just a pause after the trade that brought Montez Sweat here. Reps are a little limited for guys right now. But I hope he can maybe have just one last kick in the end of the season. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, you really have to evaluate every position and how they factor in the specific part of the team play, how they fit into special teams, where the receiver position is at right now with an injury to St. Brown. So, you know, it is about you know, how they factor in on special teams. If they're not a true starter, and Dominique Robinson is not going to be considered a true starter, so what else can he do for this team?
Justin Fields at the podium every Wednesday addressed a number of things. One, the hits that he's taking, and what Jaquan Brisker had to say about maybe teams are, you know, zeroing in on Justin and the flags aren't flying. He took it in stride. He's not making a big deal about it. But he has played well, and he has played differently in his return. Obviously, the pocket play is something that we're always going to discuss. He thinks he's developed significantly.
Yeah, I think just, you know, learning from past mistakes, I think that's the biggest thing, where last year at some points I would just, you know, escape the pocket or, you know, just run for no reason. So, you know, just trying to move in the pocket, fill out the pocket and throw the ball downfield.
So that's interesting that, you know, he felt last year he just sometimes left the pocket for no reason. Now he's trying not to do that. And boy, when he does run, though, and I caught some of your stuff on Marquee with the Dan Hampton this week, just watching some of those runs, they have a hard time reaching him when he just feels the juice. You know, we talked about it on the podcast the other day.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting his escapability over time, because a lot of times we saw him move to the exterior of the pocket, and then when things opened up, he took off down the sideline. But a couple of the runs he had in the Detroit game were right through the center of the defense. And it's not, you know, like I said in that show, because you can't spy Justin. Because there's no one out there that's fast enough to be a dedicated spy to Justin. So it's more of putting bodies on the field and try to interrupt the escape lanes or the throwing lanes.
Keep him cornered.
Like, yeah. And but Justin said, you know, he's learned more about this offense, and it's about, you know, how to use his feet and how to use his arm. And I think we see examples of it each week.
But now the Cleveland Browns are the opponent. He gave us a little thumbnail scouting report on what he is facing.
I mean, yeah, they have a lot of talented players, you know, on defense. Of course, their D-line is a talented group. Shoot, their linebackers are very athletic, very fast. They have very good instincts in zone coverage. You know, on the back end, safeties and corners, of course, are definitely top in the league. So it'll be a great test for us this week, and everybody's excited for the opportunity, but definitely a talented defense for sure.
So a lot there. Athletic linebackers, all three levels, but they are banged by injuries. And the last question, how do you prepare for Myles Garrett? Man, you got to have a plan. Just, you got to have a plan. Got to know where he is.
Yeah, but it's not Justin's responsibility. That's the responsibility of the offensive line coaches, the offensive coordinator, and the guys who are assigned to him as far as blockers.
Oh, yeah.
Justin can't be responsible for Myles Garrett and everybody else. So the plan of attack against Myles Garrett is going to be, you know, the creativity of Luke Getsy, of Chris Morgan, and then the assignment guys that, you know, are his responsibility. However, like when you see him playing against defensive ends like they did against the Raiders and other teams along the way, they can have a plan of extended opportunity for Justin to run away from, you know, wherever the defensive end lines up. However, my concern is that sometimes Myles Garrett, he waits for the offense to break the huddle. He looks for their position of strength, and then he lines up accordingly. So you can't always be guaranteed that you're going to have protection pointed in the right direction for Myles Garrett. So sometimes some of these guys are going to have some incredible efforts to be able to stop him, slow him down in his pass effort.
Well, how would you counteract that if he's going to do that late game shift, late snap shift? How do you counteract it?
I have a good blocking back in the backfield. And so if I break the huddle and I come out and my strength, my tight end is to the left, then I move my running back to the right-hand side if that's where Myles Garrett is lined up. So now my chipper is right off the shoulder of the offensive tackle. And then I tell my offensive tackle, maybe cut down your split a little bit. Understand that you have outside protection, so don't give up that inside path. And those are the coaching remarks and the responsibilities of the offense developers.
Good news. Chicago United Airlines is getting brand new planes with all the bells and whistles, like Bluetooth connectivity, screens at every seat, and room for everyone's roller bag. United, proud to fly the Chicago Bears, and you too. Just looked at some stats here on the Browns. You know, they do blitz. They blitz at a pretty high rate, 30% of the time. Their pressure rate, second best in the league. That's an ode to the great skill of Myles Garrett at 42.1%. So these are things that the Bears are going to have to be looking at. They play man a lot. Fourth highest percentage in the league, Tom. And that seemingly lands in favor of the quarterback, Justin Fields, because if their back is to him, he could be taken off.
Right. But when you talk about a great pass rusher like Myles Garrett, and you talk about a team that blitzes, are they going to push him? Are they going to allow his escapability to the shortest part of the field where they have multiple bodies? Are they going to give him the full 53 to, you know, take off and challenge the defense? It'll be interesting. And I think, though, if you're going to play a lot of man coverage against a guy like Justin Fields, man, you're playing with fire. And if he can, you know, create escapability through that, I think you're going to see some big quarterback runs by him.
So this Browns team is number 5 right now in the AFC. Tom, Grant Delpit out for the year. Just signed a $36 million contract. He's got a groin injury, suffered against Jacksonville when he sacked Trevor Lawrence. Outstanding player. Having his best season so far, 77 tackles. Jedrick Willis goes on injured reserve with a knee. DeJuan Jones has a knee. The two starting tackles. If they had Nick Chubb and Deshaun Watson and Jack Conklin and Rodney McLeod and Maurice Hurst, man, we'd be talking a little bit differently about this Browns team. And as it is, they've managed to overcome and win 8 games, and they've won the most games in the league against teams with a better than 500 record. So they're finding ways to get it done.
Yeah, you know, and a large part of that is they have a good defense. Even though they're missing a couple of key parts of that defense, they can still pressure a quarterback, a young quarterback, maybe a quarterback that doesn't have great athleticism. Maybe there's a deficiency on the offensive line that they can take advantage of repeatedly. So this is going to be an interesting matchup, but, you know, I think the development of the Bears offensive line, the way the offensive guards can help out the tackle position, what you can do for a guy like Justin Fields if you offer him the right escape valve. So I think they're over there in Cleveland kind of probably talking about some of the same things that we are about the Cleveland Browns. They're saying to them about the Chicago Bears.
For all your journeys ahead, go with a partner who's been on your team from the beginning, the one members and communities have trusted for over 85 years, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, always standing by you, with you, for you, through it all. All right. A long conversation and in a very enlightening conversation ahead. We have 2 weeks ago, Eric Kramer, or last week, Eric Kramer, his battles. Now we got Bernie Kosar. We were seemingly going to talk Browns Bears and his unique perspective on his hometown team growing up in Youngstown, but it traveled many different ways. Tom, I was blown away by the conversation and some of your questions and some of your thoughts on it as well. So let's take a listen. Our conversation with the former national champion at the University of Miami, recruited by Howard Schnellenberger, instrumental in his rise to becoming a Heisman candidate back in 1984, and then the supplemental draft in 1985, the year Tom and his Bear teammates won the Super Bowl. Bernie Kosar on a lot of different topics. All right, we welcome an old friend back to the show, Bears Etc. podcast with Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak, and we welcome the smiling face of one of the best quarterbacks in his day and one of the best quarterbacks for the Cleveland Browns, Bernie Kosar. Doing well. I love the big smile on your face, Bernie. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, Jeff. Tom, great to be with you guys as your Chicago Bears come in to take on our Cleveland Browns this weekend. The health and wellness of myself is a lot better than some of our Cleveland Browns and some of our Cleveland Brown quarterbacks of late.
Yeah, well, hey, I think a second team now. The Browns have already done it. Minnesota's going to be the second one since 1950 to start 4 quarterbacks in one season and win games on top of it. So your guy right now is Joe Flacco. We'll take your lead here and start talking about that. I mean, he's a Bernie Kosar-type quarterback, pocket passer, and been around a long time at the tender age, now 38.
Yeah, to see Joe Flacco in a Cleveland Brown uniform and playing in the old Cleveland Brown Stadium is a little unique and challenging to some of us CTE'd or TBI'd concussed old quarterbacks. But seeing him on the Brown side of things, as opposed to the Ravens and or last year, we were mortified when he was playing for the Jets and had that miracle comeback against the Browns last year. the way our defense is playing, the way our offensive line is playing, and to see Joe Flacco, who literally 2.5 weeks ago was sitting on his couch, and now to see him throwing, and to see him throwing, and I'm not trying to say this, guys, to be a homer or to strike up this Browns-Bears thing. I'm really just talking about it from the ultimate respect of an old quarterback watching another quarterback play. To see him throw the skinny bang eight post that he threw a couple times against the Rams 2 weeks ago, and then what he was doing last weekend's game, and to have that sense of timing, to be able to hit those balls now with that sense of timing now, it's really impressive after all those years in the league that he's still able to make those type of throws. And the way Coach Stefanski and our offense and Coach Callahan's been handled. We've had a ton of injuries on the offensive line. And with Tom on the call here, I'd love to see what he thinks about our offensive line. I mean, we're on the third level of third string, yet our offensive line is dominating and giving Joe Flacco with the running game time. So the play action pass and being a old school quarterback, drop back pocket quarterback with offensive line play, with guys that, you know, have only been there as little amount of time as Joe Flacco, it's actually really impressive.
Bernie, before I get into the Cleveland Browns and Bears game, I got to ask you a question. When I heard you were going to be on, I could not wait to ask you. So you've taken your career from consideration. You look at the tough guy image of that era of football. You think of the quarterback position. And then you think what Tom Brady said 2 weeks ago and the state of the toughness in preparation of the modern day NFL. Do you have any reaction towards what he said? And do you agree or disagree with it?
Well, to Tom, the old school QBs. Now, I probably could get a little long-winded on this answer, you know, and as I look at some of these old cranium inflating pictures of me behind me and stuff of the old days. We were joking, you know, me and you and Jeff joke on air and off air for more than the last decade about some of the health issues that we've gone through, that we go through, and proudly what we did when we played. And I don't want to see guys get hit like we got hit, and it's kind of the barbaric gladiator days of it. But I am super proud to be sitting here, to be healthy, to be cognitively present. You know, after 40 surgeries, 80 broken bones, heck, 100 concussions, had 15 seizures. Heck, my last two seizures at the O'Hare Airport, I was in a coma for 96 hours. Coming from a concussion evaluation with the NFL docs. So I don't want to see these younger quarterbacks go through some of the stuff that I'm going through health-wise and kind of what I've been doing on my health and wellness journey to come out of it. Heck, the great quarterback, Jim McMahon, I've been looking at his ankle and some of the stuff that, you know, he's going through with his rehab and us trying to be healthy now and that. God, one of your old teammates that you used to block, Steve McMichael, you know, and what he's going through. So there's so many of those type gladiator issues that some of our friends aren't doing well with that, you know, I'm super proud to be cognitively present and to be basically physically pretty good. But boy, Tom, you know, some of the stuff that we went through and some of our friends are going through now, it's awesome that you and me are able to be on air today and talk decently, articulately, but God, so many of our friends aren't able to do that. So when I hear statements like that, I kind of feel proud to be here, but yet I feel bad for a lot of the guys that we played with and what they're going through. So when I hear Tom Brady make those statements, the physical thing I think is okay, but one of the things that maybe he's maybe referring to is because they don't maybe practice as much, and I actually see this a little bit in the development of Justin Fields in Chicago. I'm a big, big fan of your QB there. And I love his athleticism. I love the way he plays and his presence. But maybe the what Tom, your question and what Tom Brady's may be referring to is his level of coaching and the system that he got early in his career and the attention to detail and almost the obsessiveness that we had with knowledge and practice back in the day. You know, Yav's on top of that gladiator type kill or be killed attitude from the physical side. But boy, from the mental side, it was a master's program of practice and intelligence from the X's and O's. And I see that kind of lacking a little bit in what they're teaching the younger quarterbacks. And they're asking them really to not learn the whole field and the whole game like Tom Brady, like myself, was kind of groomed. And that's kind of limiting to young quarterbacks. And I see guys like, you know, Justin Fields kind of struggling early in his development because of, I think, some of those statements like that Tom Brady's making about maybe the development of the coaching of that isn't what it's up to par.
All right, so now let's move to the modern-day Cleveland Browns. You talk about your offensive line. A year ago, 2.5 years ago, they had a reputation of possibly being one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. When you talk about those types of practice adjustments and the lack of fundamental training because you can't be in full pads as much as we were throughout our career, is it the offensive line coach that's doing a nice job in preparation? Is it the system, or is it the ingrained toughness that Stefanski has for the whole roster?
Well, that's a great question, Tom. And it's somewhat, I think, a combination of all three of the points you brought up. But it would not be proper to not give Coach Callahan proper amount of success, credit for it. And I don't want to minimize the athleticism and toughness and awesomeness of the players. But there's been about 10 players playing about 5 positions so far this year, and all of them have played above pretty good and stuff from that perspective. But the system and the kind of that zone blocking scheme has where the 5 offensive linemen are really moving in unison together, actually, I think has really helped the development of the whole line. But being able to play in unison like they're capable of.
Bernie Kosar, our guest here on Bears Etc. with Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak. We're brought to you in part by PNC, official bank of the Bears. It's Bears and Browns in Cleveland, and it should be a very interesting affair. You've got a hot Bears team playing great defense. You got a Browns defense that's ranked number one in a lot of key categories, third down and preventing first downs, and not to mention the pass defense. Myles Garrett, though, he scares us now. He scared us in Justin's first NFL start, and Tom has many opinions on what happened in that start, but he was hit 15 times, sacked 9 times. Garrett had 4.5 of those sacks and hit him 6 times. I think he's healthy, but is he having an MVP-type season for you, and what awaits the Bears when they take on that Browns front four?
So I love – of course we love Myles Garrett. There's no denying his awesomeness and how he's been playing. The Bears, and Myles is a tough guy. He's not complaining at all, you know, about his injuries and stuff, but he does have a shoulder injury that the Bears know about and the world knows about. And he's been playing probably at 80-ish%. So the last week or two, you know, getting an 80% Myles Garrett, given 100% effort, but physically that's maybe not as dominant as we saw a month ago when you have Tom, you remember the old fresh legs perspective and good health and stuff of it. But you mentioned the Justin Fields first game against Myles Garrett and the 4.5 sacks to 15 hits. Let's see, again, I'm not trying to pick on that system, okay? But that system wasn't set up at all for success for Justin Fields as a young quarterback. I think it's actually sinful to put that young man in that spot back then. And that really retards his potential chance at growth right then. So, again, I'm a Browns fan, so that bodes well for us. But I don't like to see a young man like that be stunted in his development and be put kind of in a system back then that, man, he shouldn't have been in. And you guys are still suffering the ramifications or the repercussions of that system. And those hits Because look at, I'm looking at you, Jeff, right in the eyes as we're on screen now. But us QBs, you know, I don't want to look goofy on camera here, but us QBs got to look up. We're looking past the Mike linebackers. We're looking in almost to the screen, and we're trying to see the whole picture. That's easier said than done, and I'm still doing that now. But when the play starts and guys are coming around you and stuff, and that old system when Justin Fields that day got hit 15 times and got 4.5 sacks by Myles Garrett, man, the eyes have to drop. They have to come down. And when you're a QB, and now I'm hovering, and I see Tom Thayer's backside, okay? That's a negative sign for us quarterbacks. We want to, we don't, and I mean this in the most respect, that Jay Hilgenberg, who blocked next to Tom, also I got the honor of putting my hands under his backside and have hands and stuff. I never saw those guys because they were so good. You knew they were, you didn't have to drop your eyes down. Justin Fields, early in his career, when he's developing his confidence, his self-esteem, you know, I use the phrase "you matter" a lot here in Cleveland. It's not from the University of Miami. It's because you matter. And us quarterbacks, we're acting like we're always calm and we have our self-belief. But there's self-confidence and self-esteem. And if you don't have it, your eyes drop. You don't have a belief that the play is going to hold up. You don't have a belief that the offensive line is going to hold up together. So you drop your eyes down. And you take a look for Myles Garrett, and that makes for a horrible day. If you're a Bears fan, it makes for a great day if you're a Browns fan. That's why we love the NFL.
Hey, Bernie, my last year in Miami, Steve DeBerg and I came aboard the same time in Miami. He practiced for 4 days, and then he was able to start a game. You look at the similarities with the age and Joe Flacco's experience. So does Joe Flacco come in and tell Stefanski the plays, the types of patterns he likes the most, and then you build upon that? Or does Joe Flacco have to invest himself in the terminology of the Cleveland Browns playbook and play by their rules?
So I'm going to get to that latter question, my man, but I wanted to get back to that 1993 Steve DeBerg coming and learning that system in four days and play that awesome guard, Tom Thayer, and stuff, because Bernie Kosar got whacked that year too, okay? So I was getting talked to by the Dolphins too. So it was me and Steve DeBerg were debating between the Dolphins and the Cowboys and stuff. Steve ended up at the Dolphins and stuff. I could have went from Jay Hilgenberg taking snaps down to Hubbard next to Tom Thayer, okay? But as it pertains to the play calling and the system and what Joe Flacco is going to want to do, there were some cute things that happened towards the end of our Browns game. We had a 4th-and-2 where we went for it on the plus 40-yard line, ended up hitting it for a touchdown when they blew the coverage last week and stuff. And you can see the excitement of Coach Stefanski running down the field. You can see the excitement of Joe Flacco. Veteran QBs and the respect they the coaches tend to have for us older QBs, I can see them really tailoring game plans now that are really in Joe's sweet spot, stuff that he really feels good at doing. And again, the Bears see these things. But, again, he's 38 years old. And whether he's the Browns quarterback or not, I'm not smiling. I'm not giving these glowing statements. I'm massively impressed. Tom, as we were waiting for you to get on air here, I was joking with Jeff and stuff off air. I can't believe how he's throwing the skinny post. I mean, he's sitting on the couch 2.5 weeks ago. Now he's throwing bang eights off of a five-step drop, throwing him like he's a 23-year-old guy with such arm talent. It's super impressive to watch.
Bernie Kosar, our guest here on Bears Etc. So before we start talking about how you're doing, and I see your Kosar Coffee sweatshirt, your hoodie, and the old number 19, has that ball cocked and ready to throw. Just
it's
like
a
it.
Coffee bean.
Wait, just like it is okay, but it looks just like
I'm gonna pass it forward.
It looks just like you throwing it and having that ball cocked on that poster that I had as a kid as well. So and we're all the same age. So I loved Bernie Kosar. Believe me, but.
Did you take that to Iowa State with you?
I certainly did, buddy. I certainly did. Here's what I didn't know, though. So I was keenly aware of what was going on with the supplemental draft back in 1985. But what I didn't know that the Vikings traded with the Oilers to obtain a top pick, and they wanted to draft you. I only thought that you were, like, I didn't know this for sure, and I never did the research on it. I thought you wanted to play in Cleveland so bad it was somewhat orchestrated that you got into the supplemental draft and the Browns were going to pick you. But it got ugly. And also there were legal lawsuit threats and all that from the Oilers. And can you put that all in context for us in as minimal amount of time as you can?
It's humbling to talk about that and for you to bring that up, Jess, you know. And actually, they actually did sue me, the Vikings.
They did.
Commissioner Roselle, the Oilers and stuff. And I am a mommy's boy, Northeast Ohio, want to play at home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like DeVito in the Giants right now. I comb cooking. My mom did my laundry and stuff. I was joking with Michael Vick last night, we're the youngest quarterbacks to start in the NFL. I'm only 20, 21 years old, so I really wanted to be there. But I was a huge Bud Grant fan, and Bud Grant came down to University of Miami and said, hey, I'm going to draft you. I'm going to trade the pick. And I go, oh, coach, please don't do that. Please. I'm not even sure I want to leave University of Miami. We are really lock and loaded, going to be a really good team. And the only way I could possibly leave is if I could come home and play for my boyhood team. And the general manager, and he was a good guy, Mike Lynn, he was a little hard-nosed back then, said, you don't have a choice, son. You don't have a choice. And he left. And, he ended up suing me for it. And my mom was mad at him. Okay. So I'm still a good little Catholic boy listening to mommy, so I wanted to come home. Yeah.
Hey, Bernie, when you think about the Miami days, you think of everything they went through. You know, I had some great games against them and I had some awful games against them. You know, what do you, the legacy of the Miami now, what do you think about what they've gone through since the uber successful, the reputation you guys had, the star quality players you put out there. What do you think about Miami nowadays?
So I really like Mario Cristobal and the old school kind of mentality that we're trying to bring back from the Jimmy Johnson, Howard Snellenberger, Dennis Erickson days when we got our four of our five national championships and stuff. So, whether people like the NIL world or not, Miami's playing in the NIL world. So we're able to, really attract high end, good players and stuff. We haven't caught up yet with maybe our system matching with the results and stuff, but the memories of the old school Miami and God, Tom, from you and your Notre Dame days to, me and my Miami days and the old school. I played the first night game. They brought the portable lights into Notre Dame Stadium to play the first night game there on ESPN back in 1984.
Wow.
Yeah, the Musco lighting system.
Yeah, that was actually the first fight in the tunnel. Okay, Jerry Fowles came running up to me and he yelled, "Oh, we're gonna kick your butt, bleep, bleep, bleep!" And he touched me, and he were a little too close then. And all of a sudden, there it went. Okay, the fight started. So,
Oh my gosh! I mean, there's so many similarities between your arrivals. Just Tom never left Chicago. He played USFL first, but he played his whole career NFL, mostly with the Bears for 9 years, now a broadcaster for almost 30 years. So it's been unbelievable, and you've been so closely tied to the Browns as well as you are right now. Nothing's been easy for you, has it? And, you look fantastic, number one. Just look really good and healthy and happy. So first and foremost, are you?
Yeah, I am. Thanks, Jeff. You know, you mentioned the Kosar coffee and stuff. I don't do that for a shameless plug.
Yeah.
In that.
What's in it?
But, well, you know what's in it is I infuse, and I have a patent with some great partners and stuff, and I've become a holistic kind of healer in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter of my life. I mean, I joked about it. So we infuse vitamin D and resveratrol. So I'm not a drinker anymore. Resveratrol is the top antioxidant that you find in red wine. So as a moderate Vitamix juicer now, as a guy who's had 40 surgeries, 80 broken bones, I was saying earlier, the 100 concussions, 14 seizures, that last one in Chicago that I was telling you about earlier, in a coma for 96 hours, and that was 5.5 years ago, 2017. About 2017-ish, I was told that I have 4 years left of cognitive brain function. You guys remember when you and me, we used to do the shows 6, 7, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. I was okay, but man, I couldn't really enunciate, articulate, communicate any multiple syllable words. So 4 years ago, when I was told I had 5 years left of cognitive brain function, bros, I couldn't say cognitive. I couldn't get out those multiple syllable words. So when the doctors in the Chicago hospital said, hey, man, you're a tough guy. You're doing great. Keep up with your prescriptions and protocols. Man, I was on like 60-some pills a day. Wow. I was close to 1,000 milligrams scripted of OxyContins, Adderalls, Vyvanse. So now to not have taken a pill in 5 years, to have figured out how to be juicing and stuff and how to do smart supplementation kind of with my Kosar Wellness and stuff and with my Kosar Coffee, I've really been able to almost slow down the deterioration of my cognitive decline. And physically, I've been really feeling good. So, you know, some of the things that I just mentioned, isn't easy to say, but we've had in Ohio this last week, we've had 125 people die of the overdose deaths. In the last 12 months, we've had almost 110,000 people in our country. The veterans, combat veterans, have a lot of the same issues as us NFL players. 22 veterans will commit suicide today. It's emotional for me, Tom, to even talk about it. One of our brothers, one of your Notre Dame graduates, Chagrin High School graduate, Notre Dame national champion, Cleveland Brown offensive lineman with me in 1992 and 1993, Bob Dahl committed suicide just 2 months ago. It's tough stuff for us to talk about. I don't say that now for shock value. I absolutely don't say it's a move product or something like that. But there's a sense of awareness out there now that for us guys, you know, and we mentioned what Steve McMichael's going through. We see what some of our other brothers, Wilbur Marshall, you know, some of the concussion issues that, you know, some of us do. Ernest Biner, one of my great teammates, you know, and some of the cognitive things that we have to wrestle with now. I was talking earlier about you matter, telling guys that they matter, just telling people that we believe in them, showing them now that there's hope. You know, Jeff, I love how you pointed out, you know, I don't say, and thank you for saying I look better and maybe sound better. I don't say it and sit here today to get the stroke of compliment and stuff. And I absolutely don't say it to sell Kosar Coffee that's launching this week. But a lot of the money that we're making, that's the money that I'm making, the supplements that I'm using, it's really to give back to a lot of our brothers, a lot of our teammates, a lot of our military guys, that, and let them know. And I'd love for you guys to keep spreading the word, not just to move like our products and stuff, but to let people know there is hope out there. There's things you could do that are natural right now. I haven't taken a pill in 5 years and I'm cognitively present. I'm not really in pain either. And I'm not, you know, I'm taking digestive enzymes, trace minerals, fulvic acids, fermented super greens, opting my D optimizing my D level. Heck, in my CoStar coffee, having resveratrol, and I'm getting an antioxidant in my coffee, the black coffee bean. I didn't know this because us NFL guys, we don't sleep a lot, so sometimes we get afraid of coffee. Dr. Michael Roizen, the head of the Cleveland Clinic, says the black coffee bean is the number one thing to flush and detox our brain and liver. So there's a big connectivity between our stomach and our brain. A lot of us are really struggling. Yeah, we say physical issues. A lot of us are struggling in society with anxieties and depressions. I was one of those guys. And again, I'm just trying to let people know that you can come out the other side and there's things you can do healthy that you can live in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter of my life. I a fun, happy, cognitively productive lifestyle.
You know, Bernie, your name is recognized around our country, you know, whether you say Bernie or you say Kozar. In everything you were able to accomplish on the football field, you may look awkward throwing the ball, but you threw it in the right spot. Everything that you have accomplished over the last few years, and as well as Jeff and I know you, it overshadows everything you were able to accomplish on the football field. And I have nothing but admiration, and I can't wait for the people to be able to hear your story and to listen to you and understand what you've overcome and what how your arrow is pointed up. And I tell you what, I can't say enough to tell you how much I appreciate you for it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you guys.
Bernie, real quick, if you got a couple of more minutes. So yeah, it's sure. Almost been almost a miracle transformation, yeah. Right? And is the background by which you strove to be great as a football player all the way from high school to college to the NFL and being a member of the Super Bowl team for the Dallas Cowboys, reaching that pinnacle. Did all of that discipline that you required to put in to get out of the game, what you put in, you were a smart quarterback. Everybody knows that, but you still have to put in the work. Did this help you then as you're staring in the mirror and looking where your life was going and how much pain and suffering you were going through, did that all come together to help you get to where you are right now? Are you being a football player in a sense, getting ready for a game?
You know, Jeff, really beautiful how you asked that or pieced that together. You know, for a lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of parents ask, hey, do you think you should let your kids play football? Do you regret playing football? If you had to do it all over again, would you do that again? And I absolutely, the life lessons of football taught me, this is absolutely playing football right now. Jeff, I'm not trying to grandstand. This is absolutely the greatest comeback of my life. This was harder than the football part of it. I really feel like I'm blessed. I would absolutely, I'm glad that I had the injuries. I'm glad that I played in that era. I'm glad I actually went through that stuff because I actually believe that there's a purpose for me in this late third quarter, early fourth quarter of my life. You know, if I didn't learn from football, that competitiveness, that toughness, and then go through those issues, I don't think I'd be able to sit here today and have really learned the things I've learned to be able to help the people I'm helping. We joked about this and we talked a little bit about this as I was getting better 3 or 4 years ago, Jeff and Tom, before COVID hit. But we knew these issues were coming, not only a little bit personally, but within us NFL players, within our military people, depression, anxiety, within our country. Heck, so many parents and young kids are getting scripted with Adderalls and Vyvanse. We knew that this issue was coming. Then COVID hit and it really amplified the issue, but we had the COVID. Now we're kind of getting back into it now. And these are the type of things now that have happened that I really believe I've been put here and had to learn so that I could kind of help people. Now, again, not just sit here to say, hey, you could sound good and do a cool podcast or something, but that here's the things you could take. You know, you don't have to take the 25 pills a day. There's a stat where I think at 50 years old in America, we average taking 8 pills a person. At 70 years old, we average about 25 pills a person. There's some simple things letting the body heal itself that you're able to do.
All right, lastly, and we'll let you go. I know you got other things going on. You just got back from Atlanta. You were with Commissioner Goodell. He apparently going to be at the game on Sunday. And the former ambassador of the UN, Andrew Young, what was going down there in Atlanta? What was Bernie Kosar doing with these heavyweights?
Wow, to be with Ambassador Young and being down in Atlanta with Michael Vick, James Harris, and Doug Williams doing the history and legends of black NFL quarterbacks in the NFL was super inspiring for me to be with those three guys. And then to be with the diversity programs with the commissioner and Ambassador Young and to see it, and actually ready to show my baseball background. Alex Rodriguez and Reggie Jackson were there.
Oh,
so
wow.
Be able to see them and Michael Milken and talk about how inclusive and being able the NFL of diversity and how the NFL is kind of trying to work with different groups and stuff. But I was really impressed with some of the people down there from the health and wellness perspective. So a lot of the things that that's happening in society, that's happening in the inner cities, that's happening with gun violence and the opiate deaths in Chicago, Cleveland, Atlanta. So to be kind of a part of those programs, I was super honored to be talking about that.
Awesome stuff. Tom, we're not doing much, are we? We're just calling football games. I mean, Bernie's changing lives and changing his own. So tip of the cap, Tom said it best.
But I'm just so impressed, Bernie. I admire you so much for everything that you're doing, what you have accomplished, and where you're going.
I appreciate you guys, brother. You've always been great friends. And you know what? For guys like, this trilogy, the threesome on here, to you guys who have seen this journey and specifically because, you know, all the Browns, Bears preseason games over there's all the charity events we've done. So to kind of see the evolution of this and to kind of be disciples to know friends of ours that are out there that maybe are struggling, that maybe we're aren't comfortable talking about it or don't know that there's some decently easy options out there to get out and be able to get back out into society and be productive, happy, and consciously present. It's kind of my mission right now to kind of help out our friends in society with that, brothers.
Keep going. Keep grinding, my friend. Good to talk to you. It should be a fun game along the lakefront at Lake Erie at First Energy Stadium, the Cleveland Browns and the Chicago Bears on Sunday. We'll have it for you starting with a noon kickoff from Cleveland. Chicago time, of course, Bernie. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Love you, guys. You matter.
All right, Tom, what's your big takeaway?
Me and Bernie could have been teammates at one point.
Yeah.
Because when I went down to the Miami Dolphins, it was between Bernie Kosar and Steve DeBerg, and they ended up signing Steve DeBerg, and Bernie went to the Dallas Cowboys. However, my main take is we've known Bernie for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's always been a type of peculiar guy because he doesn't have the standard quarterback throwing look or style. He's got that awkward approach and awkward delivery, but he's a super intelligent guy that's had a lot of success in college and in the NFL. And then he had some difficulties after football, and you didn't know where he was going with this. Then he's been able to kind of not only with self-help, but with the process and the help of a lot of other people that he's surrounded himself by. And I've seen a better Bernie Kosar. We talked to a better Bernie Kosar today than we have in quite a while. So I couldn't be more happy for him. I'm super encouraged in the direction he's going. And when we got off of the Zoom call, I felt really good for him and a lot of other players that maybe he can touch and put them in a positive direction rather than having a woes me approach to it all.
100%. He's a new man right now. He does a lot of motivational speaking and wellness seminars and all sorts of good stuff. And he's living what he's selling. to folks about their health, and not just the average Joe, but fellow NFL players from the past and the present, and seemingly for the future as well. So great stuff from Bernie Kosar. Always enjoyed his conversations. Take a chance. Download the Bet Rivers app today. How about the fact that in the Minnesota Vikings 3-0 win, their linebacker, Ivan Pace Jr., was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week, and not Brisker for his 17-tackle performance. Now, he had an interception, and Brisker almost had an interception, but a 3-0 game, and that gets you the NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Yeah, well, it was a shutout, and I think that's what they're looking at. He had a good performance against the Bears the week before, and so he came up and he had another performance. But, yeah, you know what, Jaquan Brisker, it's almost like Justin Fields. These guys haven't earned the respect that they deserve around the league yet. In the bigger games that Jaquan Brisker has, the more notoriety he'll receive. And it's just like Jaquan Brisker sticking up for Justin. It's the same thing with me. I think he's the most disrespected quarterback by officials in the league. And I think that he deserves to be watched over, not in a way that they're doing too many things. It's just that he's an athlete that runs with the ball, and he deserves the protection that everybody else is getting.
Well, like he says, he goes to the officials before every game. He says, listen, I'm not trying to get hit. I'm going to give myself up. And he's been doing it. He's sliding tremendously well. Early in his career, he didn't do that as well. But he's given himself up, and they're still whacking him.
Well, listen, in the Detroit game in Detroit, at this game this past week, he's gotten hit multiple times, and there's not one time. It only needs one flag to come out for the put the other team on notice. It's ridiculous that he hasn't. I don't know if he's. I think he's gotten one flag this year, but he hasn't gotten what he deserves.
Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the official hard seltzer of the Chicago Bears. Tom, the NFL has had their owners meeting. They have several throughout the course of the year. They are doubling the number of games in Europe and in South America, and the first time next year, it'll be in Sao Paulo, Brazil. What are your impressions?
You know me, Jeff.
I know.
I like the games to be played in the United States. I like that the fact that you help the economy in the cities that they're being played in here. I'm not sure how much it builds the brand of the NFL when you go to these other, exotic locations. But, I got nothing to say in it. And wherever the Bears play, I'll be on the charter, and I'll see you there.
Yes, you better be. You better be, Big Tom. Bears fans, you can be there for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the Bears and the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game. Find tickets today at ticketmaster.com/bears. Tom, I sat down earlier on Wednesday with Montez Sweat for the first time I met him. Piers, that handshake is something else. What a delightful guy, though. He means business, and I'm excited he's a Chicago Bear. This is the first time, when you think about it, it was four guys over there in Washington that were regarded as really good defensive linemen. Here, it's a different label right now because of the big contract and all that business, but he has made an instant impact, the multiplier thing we keep talking about, and it's something we're going to be looking from him for years to come.
Right. Listen, you see some of those, that one tackle that he had in the game this past week where he had a handful of jersey of, I think it was Dave Montgomery, and he kind of brought him to a stop where the other teammates can. That shows you right there that he's got incredible strengths about him. And when you bring in a guy like Montez Sweat and you immediately sign him to that type of contract, obviously, management, the front office, the scouting department, the coaches, they have big, they think that he's going to do big things here. And I hope as Bears fans that we hope we see the next coming of the great pass rusher in Chicago Bear history.
And one last thing, quarterbacks, Justin Herbert now out. Easton Stick is quarterback. The players of the week in the NFL were both from the city of New York. Tommy DeVito and Zach Wilson. We got Joe Flacco at 38, quarterback, and we had Tyson Bagent, an undrafted quarterbacking for four games. They're dotting the landscape. Minnesota going to Mullins now. Nick Mullins at quarterback. This has been something this year. I don't recall, unless I'm forgetting.
I'm sure it's happened before, but, you know, we're so involved with the NFL and the teams that we broadcast for and the teams that we broadcast against. You know, Kyler Murray didn't start the Arizona season. That was Joshua Dobbs. So, I mean, listen, that's part of football. You know, and it's only because we talk about quarterbacks because it's the most high-profile position there is. But if you go around the league and start talking about offensive linemen that are now playing that you've never heard of before, that's equally as you know, important part of a football team as any position, not as important as the quarterback. However, when you talk about who's playing and who's not playing, you know, it's amazing to think about just, you know, football and the process of injuries and how it factors and affects every team.
Browning for the Bengals, tearing it up.
Yeah, yep.
You know, you mentioned offensive linemen, and we'll leave on this. Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated suggesting that we have an offensive line problem. There's not enough of them, and they're getting hurt. And the impact is the quarterbacks are getting hurt. That's the implication. So he wrote about it this past week. I mean, it's the sport. I don't know what's the answer. I mean, coaching. Yeah, it's hard to find. Yeah, there you go.
It's a one-word sentence, and that has your noun, your verb, and everything that involved in it.
Well, you know, you could take clay and mold it into something really well, right? If you teach him the right technique and fundamentals.
Yep.
So. We'll leave it at that, Big Tom. We don't want to get ourselves all in deep here. Listen,
I'm open for debate anytime you want to debate it. Let's get some film and a chalkboard, and we'll talk about it.
Our next Bears Etc. podcast drops Tuesday. We put a wrap on Week 15, the game against the Browns, and join us on ESPN 1000 for Sunday's noon kickoff from Cleveland. Mark Silverman, Lance Briggs, Deion Miller with a pregame at 10, and Tom and I will take over at 12:02. Thanks for listening. For Tom Thayer and special guest Bernie Kosar, the great Cleveland Brown quarterback, I'm Jeff Joniak. Please subscribe now on the Chicago Bears official app, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Bear down, everybody.